Welcome to 1322 Life. Thank you guys for joining us today. I'm so happy to be here. Happy to be back home. Last week, I was not able to do the podcast live since I was out of town. And now I'm so happy to be back home. And we're recording from my office where all the magic happens, right?
Welcome to 1322 Life, where faith meets financial strategies. I'm Bree Smith, CPA, and I believe that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. As stated in Proverbs 13:22, this podcast is your guide to building generational wealth God's way.
All right, so hey. We have had an amazing time with the relaunch of 1322 Life. We started off with going over discipline. Last week, we were talking about living a lot lifestyle. And I'm still kind of like in the vein of both, getting back to discipline and implementing that lot lifestyle. So I wanted to talk to you guys today, honestly and truly. I was like, God, what do you want me to talk about? And I decided to talk about what I'm actually struggling with right now. So this is not coming from a place of I know it all. It's coming from a place of God is working on it with me as well. So we're going to be talking about Jonah. And I chose Jonah because he was hard-headed. And I needed to think of someone that was super hard-headed, that struggled with discipline and getting back into it, you know, like we had talked about all month. We had talked about how to get back to being disciplined or how to implement being disciplined in your life. And I know that we went over a lot of great stuff, but I think that we were missing maybe a little bit of application or could use a little bit more. And so this is something that we have going on currently in our lives. So like I said, I was someone that was amazing with discipline. I'm trying to get back to it. And I've been throwing an adult temper tantrum. I don't have any other way to put it. Like, I've been upset because I have to get back to delayed gratification. I have to get back to actually doing what God told me to do instead of what I want to do in the moment. I have to get back to just, like, giving up my desires, like my current in the moment desires, right? Whether the desire is to be lazy, to go to sleep, it is to work all night and burn a midnight oil, like whatever the desire may be, or to skip the gym and sleep in, whatever the desire may be, I'm having to give that up and instead trust God through his process and do things his way instead. And that's been a bit difficult. Not gonna lie. Why? Because I kind of like doing things my way. I like sleeping in. I like working late. I'm like, God, you made me as a night owl. I'd rather work until 2-3 o'clock in the morning than get up at 5. But instead, I feel God is telling me to get up at 5 and go to sleep at like 9-10 o'clock at night. I'm like, how? I don't feel like it's like, it just doesn't resonate well with me. However, when I'm obedient, I have such a good day. I have to be honest. Like, when I'm actually obedient, if I get up at 5, I spend my time with God, I'm on the prayer line, I'm at the gym working out, I come home, get showered, get ready for my day, already, like, kind of got stuff planned out, set up for the day before my staff comes to work. So then I'm ready for our morning meetings and things we need to address and go over. It goes a lot smoother. However, getting up at 5 is tough and you don't feel like it, like at all, if you're a night owl like me. So it's something that I've been struggling with. However, God has made it crystal clear that it's not something that is optional. It's mandatory for me. And I think that sucks. I don't think it's fair, but it's life and it can be stuff that's that simple. And I know for you, you may be like, Bree, whatever, shut up. Like, that is no big deal. But honestly and truly, sometimes it's the little things that can stop you from realizing some really big blessings. And so I wanted to share that with you guys because for me, it's a real issue. Okay? It's a real issue. Like, I really would prefer if God just was like, wake up at 9, and go to sleep at 2. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. I'll get up at 9 a.m., do what I gotta do, go to sleep at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I would have got plenty of work done. People would have been asleep. Cool. I can work better when no one's bothering me. I won't have any employees. I won't have any children, no husband, nobody bothering me during those wee hours. Nobody's calling anything. I can just zone in, do taxes, do whatever I want to do. But instead, I have to be like, okay, let me figure out how to adjust myself to working during the hours you're giving me. Getting up at 5, closing, shutting down work by 6 p.m. at the latest, and then being present with my family for those last 2 to 3 hours before going to bed to go do it all over again. And it helps me to prioritize my health, having some sense of balance, spending time with family daily, and having, you know, just a better overall routine. Sounds good. I feel like there's still not enough work hours. But I said, okay. Well, then, God, how do I do this? Because I'm feeling like I'm in a tug of war. He wins, of course. So how do I get to this place where I am just being obedient? How do I just flip this switch? One of the moments was just like when my husband challenged me, asked me to do it out of submission to him. I was like, okay, cool, I'm with it. But that wavered after a while. Did it for a few weeks. Now I was like, I'm not seeing any results. I want to give up. Because discipline is actually being consistent even when you're not motivated to do so. It's showing up and doing what you were told to do, whether you like it or not. It's really being present. And I was struggling with that. So I want to make sure that we're able to really dive into this. So today is not like a fun conversation. It's honestly a dreaded conversation. But I was reading about Jonah and listening about Jonah, and it all starts off with Jonah literally running away from God. Like, that's our introduction to Jonah. Like, the title of Jonah 1:1 in my Bible, you guys know I'm using the study Bible, Quest Study Bible. This is the Bible that our apostle has asked the leaders in our church to use, and it is such a good one. But you know, sometimes I use some of my other Bibles around here too. But this one, it literally, like, the title of mine is Jonah Flees from the Lord, is how it starts off. So it's just like, we don't know Jonah, we don't know nothing about him. All I know is that he is running as soon as he comes on the scene. And so, you know, God told him to go to Nineveh, preach against it, because this wickedness has, you know, been brought to his attention. And so Jonah, like, I ain't going over there. So he flees and gets on a boat to go in the opposite direction. And I know some of you all know this story, but for some of us that need a refresher or never heard of it, you know, he's on this ship and he's going in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He's going to Tarshish. And so when he's going there, he then goes below deck and goes to sleep. He's like, I'm going to go take a nap. I ain't got time. Like, I'm not going to Nineveh. That's what I'm not going to do. And I'm going to go to sleep because I don't even have time to wrestle while I'm awake with you, God. Like, I'm going out. Because God had also sent, like, a great storm. And so I guess he was trying to, like, super ignore God in the moment. So then they come get him like, yo, you don't see this great storm going on? Like, wake up. Reminds me of how they woke up Jesus during the storm too. Like, they always waking up somebody during the storm, like they capable of doing something. Usually they are the person that they are waking up, which is awesome. So he tells, they're like, you know, they're praying to their gods, trying to get the sea to settle and make whatever sacrifice. And they like, can you pray to your God? And, you know, like, who are you? Where are you from? Who are your people? All of that. So Jonah was like, I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. So they immediately are terrified. And they was like, what have you done? And they knew he was running away from God because he had already told them. So they already knew. They're like, but like, what are you doing? Like, yo, God obviously ain't one to play with because, like, do you see this? So they're like, what do we need to do to stop this? And he's like, just throw me out into the water, like throw me out in the ocean. And people always say, like, oh, so they threw them. Actually, no, they actually tried to paddle or whatever, like steer back to shore, but they couldn't. It the storm just got worse. The sea got worse as they tried to. So they finally throw him overboard and the sea calms. So disobedience brings turmoil. Disobedience causes others to be going through a whole bunch of crap that they had no business even going through because you ain't listening to God like you're supposed to. Disobedience can disrupt not only your life, but the lives of others. Like, disobedience can cause foolishness and turmoil to follow you wherever you go. Disobedience, it literally blocks blessings. So that means that obedience opens doors. It allows peace and tranquility to follow you everywhere that you go. It allows you to be joyous beyond reason. It allows you to just operate differently. Obedience allows you to unlock the blessings that God wants to give you and that he has in store for you and your family. Obedience allows us to see a whole lot more that we probably never would even be able to imagine or have if it wasn't for us obeying God. So, you know, we have to be able to see that while one is true, so is the opposite. So while we're seeing what disobedience did, we can also recognize what obedience does and how it's able to help us. And so, you know, Jonah then prayed and he was swallowed by that whale. It says huge fish in the Bible. We don't know what it was, but everyone says a whale because it's the biggest fish we know, right? There's some other stuff in this Bible about like some kind of sea creature or whatever. It's like some of these things in movies, they get this right from the Bible. It was like, it's crazy, but we're not on that right now. But, so he goes there and he does what God tells him to do. Like, so he's letting them know that basically like in 40 days, Nineveh was going to be gone. So Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Obedience unlocked this, but how did they get to obedience? They fasted and prayed. They made the animals fast and pray. Like, everyone was on a fast. No one ate or drunk in the city, not even the animals. And they were all calling out and crying out to God. I know some of you people are like, whoa, ain't no way I'm not feeding my dog. You know, and I love my little Bella Boo. But at the same time, this is what it took. And now everyone got to live. Because they turned away from their wicked ways, because they decided to fast and pray and stay instead of staying on the path of disobedience, they were able to, one, avoid some very severe consequences that were coming their way, and two, get back in God's good grace, which I think is just so beautiful and the most important. And also, they were able to experience God's compassion. So we talked about being disciplined. We talked about being able to listen, obey, and trust God. But how do we disrupt the patterns that we're currently in that are causing us to be on this path of destruction that is leading us to death, that is leading us to unrealizing are blessings that God wants to shower us with. What I see as application is that we must fast and pray quickly. If you want to disrupt the cycle, if you want to stop whatever you're doing and be able to get back in God's good graces, doing what he's told you to do, walking your calling, you must stop the cycle. And that looks like quickly putting down your plate, fasting and praying. It doesn't matter your status. The king took off his robes and put on sackcloth and fasted and prayed and then decreed that the whole city should. So others may have already began, they were fasting and praying, but then the king joined in and made sure that the entire city knew this is what we're doing. So imagine that. Imagine, you know, feeling like you're completely out of God's grace. There's nothing you can do. And you only have a few days before he's about to destroy everything. Everything you know, everyone you love, it's all going down. There's so many people going around in the world right now talking about these are the last days. And I feel like I've been hearing about the last days since I was born. Because apparently, you know, 2000 was supposed to be the end of all time and be the last days. Now it's 25 years later and people are saying we're in the last days. Does that mean that we're not? No. I think that the further along we go, the closer we are getting to the last days. But none of us know when the last days are. But I honestly see it like a ringing bell. Maybe it's the algorithms or whatever, but I see so many people that are converting to Christianity. I see so many people getting their lives right with Christ. I see so many people feeling that urge in their spirit to get right with God. Maybe it's just me, but I'm seeing it. It's like it is spreading. I see so many people getting delivered and healed. I see so many people turning to God. And I think that is because maybe we are in our last days. What if there's a siren going off? And let's also remember that a day is like 1,000 years. Like 1,000 years is like a day to God. The last days could be the last 3,000 years, the last 1,000 years, or it could be 40 days like Nineveh. We have no idea. But what if we lived like today was our last breath? And I saw this quote, and they say people are always saying you only have one life to live, like life is short, live it up. But eternity is long, prepare for it. It's so important to, yes, enjoy our lives. We should have our heaven on earth. It says so in Matthew. That's the Lord's prayer. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. And if you are truly a Christian, then you know you need to prepare for eternity. And preparing for eternity looks like fasting, praying, turning away from your wicked ways. Even if your wicked ways is to turn onto the other side of that cold pillow, like me in the morning. Like, honestly, like turning away from your wicked ways, getting your crap together, getting it in order so that you're not on a pathway to hell, on a pathway to destruction, on a pathway running away from all of your blessings. There were so many lives saved through Jonah's obedience. An entire city was saved. Families were saved. Thousands were saved due to him being obedient. Your obedience is not only just for you and to bless you, it's to bless others. Me being in position to be blessed allows my staff to be blessed, my family to be blessed, everyone that I come in contact with to be blessed. Me being obedient, doing this podcast allows for others that need to get a word from God that to be able to hear it, even if it's just one or five people. You being obedient can change lives. And it doesn't really matter how many of them, because one life is enough. I think we've gotten to a place also in this world and society where people don't value human life. And literally, like, that person, that's a soul. And one is enough. So whatever it is that you're doing, choose to be obedient because you matter enough for it to change your life and for you to realize what God really wants for you. He said he wants to bless us exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. What is blocking you from getting to exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond? What's blocking your exceedingly, abundantly, and beyond blessings? Is it as simple as you ignoring that 5 a.m. alarm? Not exercising like you need to? You're not leaving the bread alone or the sugar alone like you were told to? What is it that's stopping you from realizing what God wants to give you? So I leave you to think about that. And I want to pray with everyone because, like I said, this is something I am truly walking through and struggling with. I was literally just talking to my husband. I said, we were getting everything in order. Why does this feel like we're going a little backwards? Because we're getting back into our normal cycle. We have to keep on that cycle. I got to keep on those 5 a.m. wake ups. I got to keep on the workouts. I got to keep on going. He has to keep on going in his ways. We all have to keep doing what God told us to do. It's not okay to just do it for a small smidgen of time because we're also preparing for eternity. And we want to make sure our heart posture is right. We want to make sure that God knew that we were someone that obeyed him and trusted him with it all. We want him to know that we are his sheep and that we are not stubborn goats that he never knew. But instead, we are his sheep that follow him boldly and just listen to him and obey him. And sometimes blindly so. All right, so dear Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over each and every last one of us. Thank you for the opportunities that lie within today because you decided to breathe life into us. You decided to put us on the roster for the wake-up call this morning, God. So, God, we thank you for every opportunity that is within today, whether it is the opportunity to apologize and get things right with family, whether it is the opportunity to love one another, including your enemies, whether it is the opportunity to go after that business and that dream, the opportunity to make more money, the opportunity to give away more money, the opportunity to be a blessing to others, the opportunity to receive blessings. Whatever the opportunity may be, God, we thank you for them right now. God, I ask for you to help us to be more obedient. Help us to be able to listen to you. Help us to know what fast we need to be on so that we can break and disrupt the cycles that we are in that cause dysfunction. Father God, I ask for you to help us to just truly follow you and know what we need to do on a personal level to grow closer to you and to be within your will for our lives. So God, we thank you for doing that right now. We thank you for being here, for always being an omnipresent God. And we give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise. We give you our obedience today. We give you our discipline today. We choose to obey whatever you say. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an amazing week, y'all. And we will be back live next week at 12 p.m. Eastern. Do not miss it. I cannot wait. I don't even know what we're talking about yet because I literally let this be Holy Spirit led. I also want to start doing letters from you guys. Write in about what you want to talk about. Write in about what you want to hear. Write in about even financial woes, whatever the case may be, to get advice. Write in. We have it on 1322life.com. You can submit your thorn letters. You can also do it on audio. We're looking to do all of those things. So please feel free to write in to us. We cannot wait to hear from you and make sure that we're bringing you the content that is relevant to you and that is helpful to you. So can't wait to hear from you guys. Thank you so much. See you next week. And make sure you hit that subscribe button, okay? Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. When you subscribe, you allow us to be able to reach that many more people. So like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week. Bye.